Yes, get ready. Open lines just around the corner here on Coast to Coast AM. And of course, as you know, programming schedule for you. We will be live on Thanksgiving night. We'll have a real program for you. And also, as we get into the Christmas season, Christmas Eve, which is a Saturday, we'll have a live show for you. Christmas Day night, we'll have a live program for you on that Sunday. And then New Year's Eve, we'll have a live show for you. And on New Year's Day, that's my first Sunday of the month, we'll have a live show for you as well. I time traveled today, sort of, as I left LAX early in the morning after the show last night to come to St. Louis, where I'm going to be here for the holidays. I got to tell you, I had like 2 hours sleep, and I got on the plane, and I don't even remember the takeoff. I woke up for a little bit. We were over Colorado Springs, and I closed my eyes again. And by the time I became alert, the landing gears were down and we were ready to land in St. Louis. I'm telling you, what a way to make a 3.5-4 hour flight just go by instantly. We had a heck of a tailwind, but that is time traveling. That's the way it should be done. Anyway, we'll be back in a moment. We'll take your open line calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, open lines now, a couple hours. I love that on a Friday night into a Saturday morning. We'll pick it up by going to Orange, California. Tim's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Tim, get us started. What's up?
Oh, well, pleasure to talk to you, George. I've been waiting for this chance for years now.
Super.
But I wanted to share an experience with you that I wanted to share with Kirk as well, but unfortunately didn't get that chance. It happened about 3 years ago.
Okay.
I was in my first year of college, and just had this really, really strange and scary experience. Just to give a little background, I had been with friends that day and on a whim decided to get a little stuffed rabbit from Downtown Disney where we were spending the day.
A stuffed rabbit. Okay.
Yeah. That's
a toy, right? A little stuffed animal. Okay.
Yeah. Don't know why. Just this little voice saying, get this. That night, I woke up out of literally blackness. No vision in my head, no dream other than one feeling, which was intense pain. Woke up to that and saw this shadowy figure, like a deformed kind of creature covered in like blade-like spines just everywhere, and it had me pinned down completely. Could not move, could not breathe. When out of nowhere there's this little toy rabbit that is between me and this like shadowy figure. And instantly I'm able to move again.
You mean like the rabbit saved you?
Something like that. That's what I was. That's the only conclusion I could come to. It was like a guardian of some kind that was.
Well, you know, you had this urge, Tim. You had this urge to get this rabbit for some reason, right? It's not that you always go out and say, I'm going to buy a little stuffed animal. And, you know, and you had the thing. I mean, you didn't give it away. You brought it home, right?
Yeah.
And there it was. Yeah, that's a strange story indeed. Allison is in Thayer, Missouri. Welcome to the program. Hi, Allison.
Hi, George. It's so nice to finally be on this program.
Well, I'm glad you got through. Yeah. Have you tried before?
A couple weeks ago when you had a guest discussing exorcisms.
Okay.
Well, what I'd like to talk about... first of all, this was a very good show. I want to express my sympathy to the Kirk, was it?
Kurt, yeah.
For just shakiness. I completely understand.
Oh, man, you could feel that, couldn't you? Wow.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm just a very empathetic person. I can just tend to feel things a lot like that. And
good for you.
Well, on 2012, you know, I don't think the world's going to end, first of all, because... the 21st is on a Friday. No God no God could be that cruel to let
the ruin a weekend.
And you know, I also call, I wanted to talk to Kirk about regarding the experience he had with that young woman, the 406 one. He was going on about how about a certain Mayan culture, the Mayan culture worships some demons.
Yes.
And you know, a lot of people don't know that stars tend to work in cycles, and that December 21st, 2012, that's just the end of a certain star cycle. And also, you know how some, like the Greeks and Romans assigned gods to things they didn't understand? That's, it's the same thing for the Mayans. And, you know, maybe that demon that he feels is so close to him, that's getting to him, that could be the start of the year that the Mayans worshiped him. Could just be in that continuous cycle.
Yeah, something's going on with him. I mean, I've interviewed a lot of people before, and he is really
shaking up. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You are welcome, Allison. Whose turn is it now? It's Myrtle Beach time in South Carolina. Al, take it away. Good morning.
I have an interesting idea. I don't know if it's worth anything, but all this Mayan talk, all the 2012, what if, and you heard of the Dresden Codex, what if this is, just figure out an itinerary.
Maybe. Hey, do me a favor, though, Al. Run over there and turn down your radio and then come back, would you? We're on that delay and it pops us right back.
What if it's an itinerary? What if it's, you know, in the old days, the communication wasn't quite as good as it is now, but what if it was their way of saying, hey, we're coming back around this time?
Could be. Could be. You know, that's one of the things I think that Kurt is concerned about. But he thinks that those who are coming back will be the undead. Inga is in the state of Washington and on Coast to Coast. Hi, Inga.
Hi there.
Hi there.
Well, I wanted to tell you about, by the way, I love this show.
Well, thank you.
I've been listening since 1996.
Super. Gosh, you've been with us all along. That's great.
Yeah. Anyway, well, this is kind of a dark story, but my mother was murdered when I was 12 years old.
Oh, sorry to hear
and,
that.
And she had remarried and married a man and was only married for 6 months. And to all appearances, he was a fine, upstanding man. Owned a construction company that built churches, of all things. And anyway, he ended up murdering my mom. And what I want to tell you is what, I was 12 years old when all this happened, and we lived, you know, we moved from Texas to live with him in Florida. And, well, I was there. There, that place was haunted, not only the house, but the land. And are you still there?
Yeah, I'm listening to you.
Oh, okay. Anyway, the first thing that ever happened to me, I got trapped in my bedroom. I had two exits out of it, and there were two huge tarantulas that were, like, coming after me. That was the first thing. The second thing that happened, I had bought my first brand new Neil Young Harvest album. So that tells you what year it was. It was 1972. And anyway, and I was listening to the record, and all of a sudden, the room got cold and the stereo stopped, you know, like, that kind of thing. And I could see my breath, and this is in Florida, mind you, in the middle of summer.
Yeah, it gets chilly once in a blue moon, but not like that.
No, not like that. And needless to say, I was scared out of my gourd. But for whatever reason, I was afraid to tell my mom about it. And anyway, the next thing that happened was... obviously my mother getting murdered, and
who killed her, Inga?
My stepfather.
Oh, he did it.
He did it.
The guy that she just married. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and he had no conscious memory of doing it. And the long story short is that my brother found her, found her body, and found him in the living room, oblivious to what he had just done, even though he had the gun in his pocket.
Did he get convicted?
No, he did not. He was a big wig in a small town. You know, if I could do anything in my life to help me rest at ease, it would be to find out the whole story of what went on there. Because I did pay the dollar a page for the court documents in this case. And, you know, in the beginning pages, it shows that he was arrested for first-degree murder because he bought the gun 3 days before he murdered her.
Sounds premeditated to me, doesn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. And anyway, and then you turn the page, and you don't get to see the sideline chatter of what went on amongst the officials. But what happened on the next page is that he was plea bargained to third-degree murder. He got no jail time. He got 20 years of parole and not allowed to have a gun or drink alcohol, and had to stay in the county, none of which did he adhere to.
It's almost like manslaughter, isn't it? Sometimes justice just isn't fair. Let's go to Eugene, Oregon. James is with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, James, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, James.
First-time caller, long-time listener of your show. When I was living down in a small town called Roseburg, I ran across in my kitchen, there was this little girl, by my sink. I went over and I went into the kitchen to check it out. You could see right through her, and like back door was open just like a crack. I mean, a person couldn't go through it, but this thing went out the back door and was gone. It just disappeared. And then the next morning, I was sleeping in my bed, and when I woke up, something had hit me on my rear end. And it woke me up, and there was nothing there. My roommates were asleep. It's quite weird.
It is strange. You got those little mischievous ghosts out there. Kevin is in Fort Lauderdale and on the air. Hey, Kevin, go ahead.
Hey, what a pleasure it is to speak to you. Gosh, I've been listening for such a long time. Seeing you on TV.
I have fun with that show. The producer did a great show on that.
Oh, it is, absolutely. I look forward to every week a new episode. But what I called to tell you about, I've heard a lot of negative things and, bad sides for unfortunate people that have, like the young lady whose mother was murdered. I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, my gosh, tragic.
I'm a Marine, and I've served time overseas. And I've seen a lot of horrible things, which has made me question faith. And my father passed away not too long ago, cancer. And I'm from the Outer Banks of North Carolina. And a couple days after he had passed away, I was out on the docks up in Albemarle Sound. And I was questioning my faith and, why he had to suffer the way he did.
Sure.
And out of the blue, it was about 7 o'clock in the morning, I heard, something to my left, and I look over on the railing, and there's an osprey, a hawk, an osprey, which they're rare, and they generally don't like to get too close to people, and then it walked up to me within maybe 1 or 2 feet, and it was huge, massive, and it just looked at me like, and I wasn't scared for some reason,
Yeah, it looked at you like he knew you, didn't he?
Yeah, it was really strange, and it just looked at me, and it gave me this sense of peace, like everything was going to be all right. So I put my jet ski in the water, and because the water was real glassy that day, and so I went out real early and for a nice ride on the smooth water, and I stopped it, and I sat there, and I just floated in the water for a little bit, and all of a sudden I started to hear, like breathing, like which turned out to be a pod of dolphins. And they usually come up in the brackish water to breathe. And so I got in the water just out of curiosity to see if they come up to me. And, I mean, they came up to me by the dozen. And they kept coming up and letting me touch them.
Huh.
And it was amazing. And, like, the most spiritual, like, sense of, I don't know, just good energy.
Well, let me tell you something. Whatever was happening to you from the bird on down to the dolphins, it could have been your dad's way of trying to send you a message as well, Kevin, because that's how they work sometimes, in very strange and mysterious ways. We'll go to first-time caller Athena in Burbank, California. Hi, Athena.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing. What's new in Burbank?
Well, I just wanted to share with you a little story because I myself am a demonologist also.
Okay.
I've been studying since I was about, I think probably about 16 years old. And
you don't seem nearly as shaken up as old Kurt was.
Well, I tell you what, when I was listening to him, I was getting a little shaken up. I've never experienced anything like he was talking about, but I have had a lot of different things happen. And what I used to do was, because we had a spirit in my house, and I was so afraid, and I didn't want to be afraid anymore. So I studied as much as I could. I read as much as I could. And then as I got older into my college years, I went along with a Monsignor from the local Catholic church who was cleaning houses. And so I was amazed, and I asked him to teach me. And about 8 years later, we had a team, and we were cleaning houses in Texas. And then I moved out to Los Angeles and continued. I do it privately, and, you know, whoever needs help, and I try to help
sure.
as best I can.
Good for you.
Well, recently I went to Linda Vista. I know you know where that is.
Mm-hmm. Sure do.
And I was out there, and my question to you, and because this has never happened to me before. Now, before I go out, George, I always ward, I always cleanse, I have my protection on me, my oils and everything like that, my crosses, everything. And I'm protectively covered from head to toe along
okay.
with my team. And I go out there and I went down the long hallway that's down in the basement area. And all of a sudden I saw these two red eyes. And you can be doing this forever. And you're never going to feel comfortable when you come across one of these things. Your heart starts racing. I mean, everything just starts going. And, of course, I was having the natural reaction, but I'm not running and I'm not screaming. And I just kind of went, and I just kind of stopped. And I saw it, and it was coming from the ceiling on down. And at the time, there was a production company that wanted to do, like, a reality show on a women's ghost hunting.
All right. Well, hold on, Athena. I'm going to come right back to you after this break. We'll be right back. Okay, let's go back to first-time caller Athena in Burbank, California. Athena, you and your group, you saw this red-eyed apparition. Go back a little bit and give us a little highlight and go on.
Basically, what had happened was, as I was saying, there was a production company that was interested in doing a reality show on an all-women ghost hunting group. And that was me and my team, and we were downstairs. Well, what was strange, George, was that one of my number one rules is that we never go anywhere alone. And
that's smart.
I tell you, it was so strange, and I have to admit, the number one the mistake that I made that night was that I let Hollywood get involved, and I didn't follow my rule. And it was almost like they were planning it to get everybody out of the hospital, but me and one of the cameramen. And I was searching for one of my girls, and I had the cameraman with me, and lo and behold, everybody was outside taking a break, taking a smoke, doing whatever, getting some water. I was the only one and this cameraman alone in the Linda Vista Hospital downstairs, and last I had heard, my teammate was down in the basement area. So I went down there alone with this gentleman, and I went down into the hallway, saw these two red eyes, stopped, and, of course, reacted like, you know, you're going to naturally do. We're all human.
Sure.
And But the problem was that he didn't see it until after everything had happened. Now, what had happened was I reacted. He wanted to catch my reaction on film. It was an inexperienced camera person as far as ghost work.
Right.
Put on this bright light in my face, and I lost sight of what was in front of me.
Oh.
And I stopped and I went, move! And I moved the camera out of my face. And by that time, it was practically in my face. All I saw was a black blur. And it's like I said, every time I go, I've always warded myself. I've always anointed everybody with holy water and sure. holy oil.
You've done it right.
Yes. But, George, I don't know if it was because I let my ego get in the way. I'm not sure. And I tell you, what a lesson that I walked away from this. But it has, and I've been scratched. I've been bitten. I've had my hair pulled. I've been tugged. I've been shoved against the wall. Everything. But I've always walked away going, wow, you know, that was amazing. Or, wow, okay, this is what we're going to need to do next time, and so on and so forth. But it's never, ever, ever, ever touched my soul. That night it did. And I'm starting to get shaky just talking about it.
Too close for comfort, Athena.
George, that's what, and I regret not being able to call in while you had your guest, your special guest on, because what's happened since is that I almost feel that it, because when after it happened and I saw it crawl up, I saw its legs crawl back up into the ceiling and into the wall and gone. But I had this overwhelming feeling of almost like, you're done, girl, and I've marked you. I've gone to, and that was not too long ago. I've gone to 4 cleanings since, and I've had the exact smell, the exact overwhelming scared feeling.
Right.
And I wanted to ask him, because I've never experienced this before, and I've been doing this since I was 16 years old. And I wanted to ask him, is it possible if they get through, is it possible for them to, like, mark you?
Of course. That's, you know, he was saying earlier that he witnessed that in right in front of himself. Some girl was getting scratches on her body right in front of him. I mean, they do that all the time. Do you know my friend Jody, by the way?
I do not, no.
Oh, okay. You know, she was at that hospital as well with a group of investigators.
But I understand what you're saying about the markings but what I'm wondering is it almost like they want to
hurt you.
Yeah, and it's like I've marked you so all the others will know
who you
are and where you are.
Exactly, Athena. We got to take this break. We're going to come back with more on Coast to Coast AM. Back to the open line calls, and let's go to Grand Rapids, Michigan. Vic's there, east of the Rockies. Vic, hi.
Hello, George. I want to say it's an honor to speak to you. I'm a truck driver. I listen to you about every night of the week during the weekdays.
Well, thank you, Vic.
One of the things that I wanted to ask you about was a while ago, a friend of mine pointed me towards YouTube. I know they have a lot of different videos on there and stuff, but this concerned a thing out right off of C-SPAN, and it was being presented by a bill that they wanted to pass, being presented by a Senator John Hauler, H.R. 8791. It's the Terrorist Preparedness Bill.
Okay.
I don't know if it ever passed or not, but they were talking about using force against people in our own country if there, you know how there's been a lot of things, coups and what have you going on in other countries.
Yep.
I think our government is worried about us having an uprising. Now, I don't know how long this video has been on YouTube, but a friend of mine directed me to it, and ever since I've seen it, I almost can't sleep at night thinking about it, that the government would try, or somebody in the government would try to pass a bill like this, because they talk about, he'll be reading it, and you can get to the video if you haven't seen it by punching in confidential on YouTube, and you'll find the video in the list of things there. But he talks about unleashing flesh-eating viruses on us, and using aerosols against urban areas, and he'll be reading the bill that he wants to get passed, and all of a sudden he'll say confidential, and they want to get so much money and call in NATO troops and use Homeland Security, and then he'll say confidential, and then he starts reading this part about attacking urban areas with aircraft and what have you, and he said he reads it and he gets silent for a minute and he says, "Oh my God," and he says that they're about havoc of our worst nightmares, and then he says confidential about six or seven times. I just wonder if you'd heard anything about this bill and whether it was passed or not, because you know you've been talking about demons and stuff, and these days the only you have a lot of controversial things on your show, and I'm not saying I believe all of them, but I try to keep an open mind. But when you talk about demons, the closest thing I know right now is the federal government, you know?
You might be right, Vic. I haven't checked into this bill, but I will check in with Alex Jones, because if it's real, he'll know about it. You know, sometimes on YouTube, these could be made up. You know, that happens. That happens a lot. But I'll check into that. Tom's got a text message for us back in the LA studios. What do you got for us, Tommy?
Hey, George, Carmen in Mississippi says, George, what makes these demons and ghosts not cross over? And if they do cross over, is it still possible for them to haunt or bother humans?
Oh, of course. I think they do cross over all the time, whenever they want. And they do bother people. Case in point, our first hour guest, they, you know, bother the heck out of him. They're real.
Do you ever worry about getting possessed or anything, or bothered by demons?
No, but I've known some people who have been possessed. You know, I've witnessed it right in front of my eyes. But no, I think I've got this shelter of light around me, so I'm not too concerned.
You know what? I believe that. I respect every caller in their story that calls in, but I got to tell you, if you're not open to it, I just don't see how they can get you.
You know, if you're drunk, you know, they can get to you, things like that. That happens.
So your mindset changes when you're drunk then, yeah.
That's what I'm told.
You don't know.
Thanks for calling.
See you later.
All right. Next up, let's go to Austin in Austin, Texas. Hi, Austin.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Good, good. Austin in Austin, Texas. Is that real?
I've been called. It is something that people do call me, but it's not my real name.
Okay. You're doing that. Okay.
Well, I work out of state, so people refer to me as, you know, Austin from Austin. So anyway, yeah, sorry about that. Anyway, I have kind of a two-part thing here. First, I want to talk about how, you know, Kirk was really, he seemed really unnerved. He seemed genuinely.
I thought he was breaking down right in front of me.
Yeah. Like, and the thing is that what scares me about that is, you know, and not to get all biblical, but in Revelations, it does say in the 13th chapter, it straight up says, you know, like in those days, like when the beast from the sea, whenever he comes about, like he's going to have authority over the saints. Like he's going to be able to wage war and win. And in a sense, like we haven't seen that. There are many things yet to come, but it's just very interesting that, you know, at a time, if things did open up in a sense, almost like a letting loose of these things, I think that could be, you know, indicative of that kind of thing. Anyway,
yeah.
The thing I wanted to convey was this story that I have about that pertains to your guest. It was, I guess you could call it an incubus or a succubus, but just an interesting story to me anyway. My girlfriend at the time, a couple years back, she would have night terrors. And I truly attributed it to like a demon type thing. And I was very spiritually spoiled growing up, whereas when I would have, you know, things happen, whether it be in my dreams or otherwise, I would, you know, instantly I could, you know, basically call it. I could, you know, call them to check and get authority on it. Okay. Anyway, she would have these nightmares, these night terrors, and I would try to talk her through them and, you know, like say, hey, well, you got to realize, you know, that you're having a dream. You've got to, you know, basically, you know, you have to call upon the name of Jesus and take authority of the situation. Anyway, it got to the point where it was the strangest sensation I could, you know, that I could say, like, I would be having a dream, like we'd both be asleep, and I would just be having a normal, normal for me would be a lucid dream, just, you know, a pleasant dream, whatever was going on. And then all of a sudden I would get this feeling of, it'd be like, it's like being in a room and doing something and then realizing that somebody else was in the room that you didn't know about. And you just get that kind of shock, like that awareness, like, oh my goodness, oh, somebody else is in here. And it's kind of, you know, startling. Anyway, I would get that feeling in my dream, and then all of a sudden I would realize some character in my dream was in my dream that didn't belong. And it was just a very, like, whoa, what are you doing here?
Did you get him out? Could you? Did you have that ability to do that?
I did. Well, I can't so much get him out so much as I can get out of the dream, like I can draw myself out. And so when I would do that, the scary thing is that when this would happen to me, I would wake up. I'd wake myself up, basically. And I would be sitting there, and my girlfriend would be perfectly, you know, she'd be sleeping soundly. And then just seconds after I would awake, you know, she would start, you know, having telltale signs of having a nightmare. And so I would wake her up, and then, of course, she would say, oh, my goodness, you know, I just started having the worst dream. It was just really strange that this thing would actually enter my dream, and I knew it was there. It was like the presence was there, and I would draw myself out of it, and then I would wake her up. Because she would almost immediately, it was just like when it showed up, it started showing up in my dreams too. And it was just very peculiar and just, you know, something that I thought was odd. So.
All right. And by the way, you may be able to win $5. Want to take a stab at this?
Okay. Unlikely, but I will.
Do you remember the Andy Griffith Show?
That was a little before my time, but I definitely remember the, you know, the whistling and all that stuff. So,
can you whistle the theme song? You got it. You got it. You get. I'm going to put you on hold. Unbelievable! Right out of the box, you get it. Austin from Austin, Texas, gets $5. I thought this would have gone on forever. Oh well. You know the deal. When we get books, we don't throw them away. I'd rather give them out. I also, you know, give them around, put them on the kitchen table at work, but I'd rather give them to you than toss them, which I will not do. So let's go next to Jose in Phoenix, Arizona. Welcome to the show. Hi, Jose.
Hi, George. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Such a pleasure to talk to you.
You too.
I got a quick story for you.
And, okay.
Kind of would like to get your input on this story, so I'll try and rush through all the facts as quick as possible.
Sure.
So it was about, 15 years ago, Parker, Colorado, very large place for UFO sightings. And until this point in my life, you know, I'm a Christian, so I was a very non-believer in UFOs. But my brother and I were working on a project where we were painters. There was about six of us. And I sent my brother and one of the other guys out for dinner for us at about 6 o'clock to the Taco Bell.
All right.
About 11:30, my brother and the other guy who we went with returned. Fresh Taco Bell in hand. I got into an argument. I said, where have you been? You've been gone for 5 hours. What's going on?
We're starving.
Yeah, we're starving. We were angry, you know, the rest of us. We were almost finished with the job. We said, you know what, let's just get in the vehicle and go.
Yeah.
We get in the car and we go, and the other guy and my brother are looking to the sky, and we're like, what is wrong with you? And he says, look, you know, we think we were seeing, like, UFOs popping up and down in the sky, and then we saw these cop lights on the side of the road, and as we got closer to them, they just disappeared, and we were almost here.
Wow.
At that point, I reach into the bag, I grab out some Taco Bell, and it's completely 100% fresh. Like, you know the difference between old Taco Bell and fresh.
Oh, absolutely. And they're still warm, right?
Yeah. They're still toasty shells, crunchy. You know, the lettuce was cold, the meat was hot, the sour cream was perfect. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And
you're getting me hungry here, Jose.
Yeah, as we're all eating there, I'm handing out the food. I get the receipt. So I look at the receipt because my brother is like, dude, we left right from here and went to Taco Bell, I swear. I pull out the receipt, and the receipt says 620.
Whoa.
Inside this bag. No moisture in the bag. The bag was nice and crunchy. And I was like, and I said to him, I said, man, you are really right in this lie. I can't believe you actually went and got the food and then rebought it and put the receipt in the bag.
Exactly. Or microwaved it or something, you know?
No, exactly. Now, for your listeners, I want them to know that I'm not a drug user, but this was 20 years ago. There were a couple of guys who were with us on the crew who smoked pot. They were in the back of the van. They were smoking pot, you know, work van. I'm like, you know, whatever. It's 11:30 at night. I just want to get home. We get pulled over by the police. Van, all the windows are rolled up because it's winter in Colorado. Guy's walking up the vehicle, and I'm like, I cannot believe we're about to go to police. I'm about to go to jail.
Yeah.
I roll the windows down. All of the smoke goes right out into this cop's face, and he looks and says, what are you boys doing tonight? And I said, well, we're trying to drive home. And he goes, well, why are you swerving all over the road? And I look and I go, because this guy, the guy who's driving, I said, he's freaking out because he thinks that they saw aliens tonight. And the cop looks at us and he goes, don't you boys worry about those alien stories and just get on home.
Really?
There's not a cop in the world who doesn't know what pot smells like when it hits him in the face.
No, they would have done that. Something.
So, you know, I told somebody else this story, you know, maybe about a year later, and who was pretty much into this kind of thing. He's written a couple of books. He wrote the book Hollywood versus Mars, and you know, talking about, you know, America being prepared for, you know, alien war, whatever. And he said that it didn't actually sound like an alien abduction. It sounded like a government abduction where they pull people aside with you know, lights and hypnotism. You know, and the thing is about, you know, right after that, my brother and the other guy, Zach, began to get sick. And they were sick, both of them, for about 3 years, vomiting, headaches.
See that?
Breaking out in hives, all kinds of things.
That doesn't sound like a government situation. You know, it sounds like they could have gotten sick from some kind of radiation or something like that. I mean, they may have had a truly close encounter of the third kind. I'm going to come back in just a second here. We've got another hour to go of open lines for you on Coast to Coast AM.